Good evening. I'm K2 Romeo India Whiskey. My name is Dick. And with the help of K2 Kilowatt Echo Yankee, and his name is Mel. Mel and Dick try to orchestrate a thing called the Technical Med, by which we gather the clan of radio amateurs who help each other with usually good information. No guarantee on that, but the price is right. A little bit of entertainment occasionally sneaks in, and there's quite a bit of complication to this hobby of ham radio. 26 different kinds of ham radio, all connected by wireless techniques with and without computers, and fancy antennas and transmitters and receivers and then feed lines and propagation. We try to teach each other how all that stuff works. A person signs into the Technical Net by giving Mel and Dick your call letters, your name. Try to remember to give me your name. And the word yes, which means you do not, you have a question or a comment for the net. You need not sign in if you don't have a question or a comment. After 27 years of this particular tech net, we sort of assume that there are people out there. K2RIW listening.
Do we always comment to the net?
Exam. Yes.
KC2QIW, beam from here is Joe. And no, in the mobile.
KC2SYL, the name is Bill, and the answer is yes.
K2GJE, yes.
Okay, so far we have Rich, Wesley, Joe, Bill, Paul, a double, and K2GJE. Mr. GJE, what is your name, sir?
Handle is Ed.
Very fine, Ed. And let's see, everybody was a yes except for Joe. Okay, I know there was a double. Who did we miss with the reception of... as I said before, Rich, Wesley, Joe, Paul, and Bill, and Ed. Who do we miss?
Good evening, K2KEY. This is Kilo Charlie 2, Tango Delta Lima. Name is John, and a negative on question. Just listen.
Okay, John, and they'll recognize. Rich was the first one, and 2EO. Go right ahead, Rich.
Hey, Dick, good evening, everybody, and 2EO. Dick, what I wanted to mention was video conferencing on the computer, something I've been doing since, early December. I got a lady friend that lives in a small town in Florida. She's a ham, but she's not active, and I know her a long time. And on another repeater that I frequent, some people recommended to me a Logitech camera, video cam called a Logitech Model 9000. They're about $75 with the shipping. Very inexpensive, very easy to hook up to the computer. They come with software. You can use Skype, but we're not using Skype. We're using a program that came with the camera called VID. V-I-D. It's a Logitech program. And this lady friend and I communicate every day via webcam. And it occurred to me that, you know, I mentioned it to one of the members on this repeater, Stan, W-H-U-Z-S-K, and he went out and bought two of these cameras, one for himself and one for his grandson. And it occurred to me, anybody who's got family out of state or maybe a relative serving in the Persian Gulf, we've got access to a computer. It's a wonderful way to keep in touch. We've been able to get a lot closer, a lot faster, because we get to see each other. And the new cameras, I don't know if they're using some new video compression or there's more bandwidth, but the motions are very, very fluid. You don't get that animated jerking motion that you used to get on the video cams. So I just wanted to mention that, Dick. I'm not a computer wizard. My lady friend is not a computer wizard. We were able to hook them up in about 10 minutes. They plug into the USB port. We loaded the software, and they've been flying ever since. K2RIW, TechNet Limark, and 2EO.
That sounds extremely good, Rich. In the business I'm in, electrical engineering, quite often in the past, a conference was required in California, Chicago, Florida, sometimes London, and in the past, you would ship people. You put them on an airline, give them a ticket and a hotel and a rental car, and you ship them to the place to go to the conference. Pretty soon, I was working for a company, I guess it was about 4 years ago, and I saw what video conferencing can do when it comes to industrial-grade video conferencing, where you've got two nice, great, big flat-screen displays in a room and the right kind of microphones and cameras. On one display, you see the group of people you're talking to in, say, London. On the other display, you show the pictures of the hardware that you're describing, the schematic diagrams, the PowerPoint display, or whatever, is on the left-hand screen. The right-hand screen is the people you're talking to, and they have a similar setup on their side. And so you can have these video conferences as many times per day, as many times per week as you seem that you think is required, and you're shipping signals instead of shipping people. You drastically cut down the cost, the risk, the inconvenience. It's a hell of a lot better scheme. And for people to be doing that privately is obviously the right way to go. That's amazing that Logitech sells you that camera, that camcorder or webcam for $75. You said you use the program called Vid, and I presume that's some kind of compression program that goes between the camera and your local laptop computer or your desktop computer. When it comes to actually connecting to, in your case, your friend in Florida, what is the cost of that connection? Where do you go? How do you actually do that, Rich? So during the time you are doing video conferencing, I presume it's more than just sending an email to that particular private individual. I am guessing that both of you check into a particular website that does the transfer. And what is the price of that, and how is that actually accomplished? N2EO, K2RIW.
Okay, Dick. 2RIW, TechNet Limark, N2EO. No, there's no charge. The software comes with the camera. They pack it with the camera. It's not using. It's really going from her computer to my computer as far as I can see, because it's all menu-driven. It asks me to put in her email address. She puts in my email address, and what I think what it's doing, it's pinging and looking for the IP. It's looking for the, I don't know what it's doing. I think it's looking for a particular IP address, because if my friend Jerry is online, if a computer is up, it'll, you know, it's got an icon, and it says she's available. And all I do is click, and she gets a ring on her side. It synthesizes like a telephone ring. When she clicks on me, I get a ring. And then I can either ignore it or accept it. And in a couple of seconds, with video conferencing, we got a picture maybe about, 6 or 8 inches by 6 or 8 inches in color. I can see her, and I can see my outgoing picture in the lower right corner. The cameras have built-in microphones. It's amazing what they give you for $75, Dick.
My goodness, that sounds good. Sounds too good to be true. I think you're saying that you're watching the picture of your friend in Florida, and it seems to have smooth flow of continuous data as opposed to jogging. From what you can tell, Rich, is there any delay? In other words, if you ask her a question, assume now that you were on a twisted pair telephone in the old days, and you're having a telephone conversation, and you asked her a question, she would be responding to your question as fast as she can respond. She'd be hearing it in milliseconds from the time that you say the words. With this conferencing, video conferencing that you're now describing, is there a way that you can tell me how much delay there is? And I guess one way to do that would be if she aimed her camera at the portion of the screen which is her outgoing picture, and now you would see how long it takes to come back. Oh, no. Now, that wouldn't do it. There's got to be a way in which you can actually see the delay, but at least without the human intervention. But from what you can sense, is there any delay? I mean, it sounds like you're talking, that your email system, so to speak, is talking to her email system. Well, the email system really is sending packets, and I know there's real delay there, and there's checking of the error in the packets and so on. When it comes to VOIP or IRLP, I know that there is usually delay. You probably heard the amount of delay you get if, for instance, you transmit it on 146.25 and listen to what's being conveyed by Internet over to 147.375, and you listen to that feedback, you would hear the delay. And if you were doing it with earphones on, for instance, it would be difficult to keep on talking with hearing your own voice coming back with a delay. So how much time lag do you think there is, Rich? N2EO, K2RIW.
Very slight, Dick. I would say between 1 and 2 seconds. If I ask, I've noticed that. If I ask her a question, it's like 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, and then she answers. But it's quite good. And this was what was recommended to me by somebody who's really into computers, the Logitech Model 9000. I bought 2 of them on Amazon.com. You can go on Amazon.com and just put in Logitech 9000. You'll come up with it. They were like, I don't know, $74.95 or something a piece. And I had one shipped to me and one shipped to her. And like I say, neither of us are computer wizards, and we got them working no problem.
Boy, that sounds awfully good. And I think you said it comes equipped with the program called VID, V-I-D. Are you telling me that from what you can tell, there is no additional charge? Now, say, for instance, if I had an Internet connection, and if I was foolish enough to say, I don't care about having a telephone anymore, and if I had no telephone of any kind, but nothing but an Internet connection, and some of the time I'm sending pictures, and some of the time I'm only paying attention to voice, by way of this scheme, I could be talking to any of my friends who are similarly equipped and use that instead of a telephone. And if that person I want to talk to is in, let's say, Australia, and except for the amount of delay of the Internet between here and Australia, I'd be making lengthy video phone call conversations with my friend in Australia, and I talk for 2 solid hours, and instead of paying a lot of money for that longer connection in the phone company, this would be a possible way to go. Is that scenario correct? And once again, that VID, is there an additional charge, or that comes with the camera? N2EO, great stuff, K2RIW.
Okay, Dick, N2EO, absolutely. There is no charge. The program VID VID comes packed with the camera on the disc, on a DVD or CD. I think it's a DVD. And there's no charge. The only charge you're paying for is your already existing Internet connection that you're paying for anyway. Now, my friend Jerry in Florida and I both have broadband connections. I don't know how well this would work over, a dial-up. I don't think too many people are using dial-up anyway. So there is no additional charge. That's why, Dick, I said that if somebody has somebody in the military serving in the Persian Gulf who has access to a computer at a military base, this is a wonderful way to keep in touch.
I think you've got a goodie here, Rich. You probably know what Skype is. I don't really. If you were comparing it to Skype, it sounds to me like you get more for less. Am I wrong on that one, Rich? Go ahead.
I don't know. We haven't tried Skype yet. I told her to download it. She hasn't downloaded it yet. I have Skype on my computer, and we're going to give that a try and get a comparison, Dick. But I think the only reason to use Skype is it's sort of a standard, and if we wanted to communicate with other people, we might be interested in Skype. But right now, we're just communicating with each other, so we stuck with what was packaged with the Logitech camera, which is this.
Again, it sounds too good to be true, Rich. Wow. I suspect there are very busy portions of the day, maybe at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when everyone comes back from lunch, Eastern Standard Time, or maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the whole country has come back from lunch, so to speak, and the Internet seems to flow a little bit more slowly. You send somebody a message, and it takes a little bit longer for it to get there. I'm kind of curious of how many conversations have you had. Have you had these conversations with your Florida friend during times when the Internet might be super busy? And did you see any difference in the service? N2EO, KQRIW.
Not really, Dick. We communicate almost every day. We generally communicate around 12 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We never had trouble until today. My cousin came over and she wanted a demonstration. So, you know, Murphy's Law, you have someone over to give a demo, something happens. Jerry in Florida had a computer go down, and she had to reboot, and then she was not getting my audio today, so we did the video over the computer and the audio over the telephone, but this is the first time that happened.
Hey, Rich, this would be a beautiful way to demonstrate your skill with American Sign Language. She was getting the video, not getting your audio. You should have been talking to her with hand signals. Over to you, Rich.
Well, anyway, it's an interesting way to communicate, you know? She's a ham, and I've been able to show her some of the antique radios, and she's been able to show me her stuff. You know, she has a cat. I was able to put the cat on the camera. So it's really a very nice way to communicate. And like I say, there's no charge. There's no charge.
Once again, my goodness, that sounds good. The picture you're seeing of your friend in Florida, was the picture high enough in resolution such that if she was sending hand signal sign language, American Sign Language, and if you were skilled in that art, do you believe you would have been able to get her message? In other words, is this a possible scheme by which people who are hearing impaired could be communicating with each other? Over to you, Rich.
Absolutely, Dick, absolutely. Because I can see rings on her finger that she's wearing. I can see her earrings. It's very, very clear.
Wow. My goodness, can that give you capability if for instance, a man and wife are separated and want to send exciting pictures to each other? I'm getting all kinds of images here. My mind's wandering. Sorry about that. Hey, I think you found a goodie here, Rich. Wow. I think you're saying you've got a friend who's quite computer savvy who brought this to your attention. How long do you think it has existed? Logitech... Do you believe this is a fairly new product at the tail end of 2009? Give us a little bit of history if you happen to know it, Rich. Again, it sounds too good to be true. N2EO, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Okay, Dick. Well, webcams have been around a long time, but they were never very fluid. You know, you would get that jogging motion, and the resolution wasn't that good. When I started checking into this, on Howard's repeater, WB2HWW, one of the gentlemen, Kayvon, W2KTU, was heavy into this, and he had investigated which were the better cameras, and the Logitech 9000 came out on top, so that's what I bought. I bought two of those.
Well done. Exciting stuff. For all the people who are listening to this technical net right now, I'm going to drop the repeater long enough for you to sign in if you've got any further questions for Rich about the service. Sounds awfully good. Maybe I'm a dinosaur and I'm out of the loop, and maybe you guys are all familiar with this and you've been using it for 6 months and you're bored with it. And again, there's got to be some other dinosaurs out there like K2RIW, computer dinosaurs, who want to know more about it. If so, give me your call letters right now. K2RIW in the TechNet.
W2RIY, how much bandwidth do you think this thing uses every time you hook this thing up from point to point?
Good question, Joe. And so as you can tell, Rich is saying he does have broadband service. I presume what your broadband service is, I know for a while you were using a broadband service that was satellite connected. Maybe you're still using that, or maybe you've gone over to either a cable TV or a fiber optic cable TV-like service. So tell us what bandwidth you think is required, Rich, if you happen to know, and what bandwidth you are using. N2EO, K2LIW in the TechNet.
Okay, Dick. Well, you know, I forget what the speed is, but I'm not using the highest speed. I'm not using satellite anymore. I'm using Time Warner Cable. Just their regular service. They just instituted a 50 megabit service, and I'm not on that. I've got their standard service. Now, my friend Jerry in Florida, I'm sure she doesn't have anything super because she's in a small town in Citrus County called Homer Sassa, Florida. It's in Citrus County, about 70, 80 miles north of Tampa. It's a small town, and I don't think she has anything special either, Dick.
My goodness, that sounds good. So I wonder if you got any further questions there, Joe. W-H-U-R-Y-Y, H-U-R-I-W.
Well, my question wasn't related to the speed that you're using. Was how much bandwidth does it take? Does it take 300, 400, 500 kilobits a second to run this thing? The question behind that, what I'm actually getting at is, if this thing uses a reasonable amount of bandwidth, and you run this thing for a couple of hours per day, give or take, all right, if you add that up per month, some of these cable companies start charging you if you exceed a certain amount of bandwidth per month. I'll give an example. A friend of mine is down in Florida. He has Comcast. If you go over 1 gig per month, 1 gig per month, they start charging for the excess bandwidth that you're using.
Okay, before I turn that over to Rich for the best guess of his answer, 1 gig per month, okay? 1 gigawatt per month? Gigabit per second for a solid month? Of course not. 1 gigabyte of total data per month? Maybe that's what you're saying. 1 gigabyte or gigabit of total data within a 1 month period of time. So, in other words, use whatever bandwidth you want for whatever number of days of the month that you want, and if the whole transfer of everything you do during that month adds up to 10 to the 9 bits or bytes, then you start paying extra. Is that what you're saying, Joe? W2RYY, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Hey, Joe, Gary Mobile.
Joe first, and then we'll turn it over to Eric. Go ahead, Joe.
I believe so. You know, maybe somebody can correct me on that. They know better than I do, but that's what I was told because a friend of mine has a friend in Florida. He says that's what Comcast does. Go over 1 gigabit or gigabyte of information a month. Like these people that go on the internet and download CD worth of data, you're talking about a lot of bandwidth, you know, total per month. Up here, I don't think Opt Online does that. I don't know if Time Warner Cable does that either, but, you know, you can see it coming because they do meter your bandwidth.
5 gigabytes per month.
Okay, let's see what Eric's got to say about that. K2EJ, is it gigabits? Is it gigabytes? Total number of data transfer from your QTH during the month? And does that include upload and download? Tell us whatever we should know here, Eric. K2EJ, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Yeah, K2RIW, K2EJ. First of all, Comcast is one of the worst of us. And what we're talking about is meters, not bandwidth, because you could have, 96K worth of bandwidth and still use up 5 gigabytes of data. We're talking about metered data. How many bytes of data? And if you're talking about Also, it depends on the damn company, because some people use the Macintosh standard, where the Macintosh standard is 1,000 megabytes is a gigabyte, whereas most computers, I think, of 1024 as, you know, the square of 2 is the number of gigabytes. So, Time Warner uses the square of 2. I think Comcast did a cheesy one. They use 1,000, what is it, 1,000 cubed. But you're really talking about how much data arrives at your place. And the metered data is in both directions. It's not just one. For example, I have a Verizon wireless modem. And my limit of data that I can upload and download is 5 gigabytes before I start paying extra for it. But then again, that's a lot of data, but if you're doing streaming, if you're streaming video, you're streaming high-def video, you can eat that up really, really fast. If you're just doing emails and stuff, you'll never even come close. K2RW, K3J.
AC2AE, with a comment.
Very fine, Eric. AC2 Alpha Echo. Please start off with your name, sir, and your comment. My name is Dick.
Hi, Dick. How are you? I've spoken with you plenty of times before, long time ago, but approximately a year ago. Dick, how are you doing this evening? Sorry, I was just listening. I also have Verizon Fios, and I have to disagree with that 5 gigabyte a month download. I am an extremely heavy downloader, and never to say what I am downloading, but I am a very heavy, heavy, heavy downloader, and I go way past 30, 40 gig daily, and Verizon has not charged me anything more, nor have they complained about it, nor have they complained about the use of the bandwidth. So I believe from within my contract, I'm able to pull out, have download speeds of 30 megabytes to 15 or 20 on the up, I believe. So I don't think they do have a restriction on it yet. I do know that it is or will be soon metered and controlled, and we might even have to be paying for it per gigabyte or per byte, as they do with cell phone usage now, unless you get an unlimited plan. I just wanted to add that into the conversation. This is AC2AE. My name is Joe, Juliet Oscar Echo, and I'll pass it back on over to you, Dick.
Absolutely right, and that question I wasn't talking about. I was talking about wireless modem, which is in the Fios. And also, let's not blow up the internet tonight.
Yeah, it's a guy named Eric who just jumped in real fast without waiting for the beep, but I understand. You want to make sure you got it before. We have to make sure we wait 3 seconds, fellas, for each one of our passes back and forth. Otherwise, we time out the machine, and the people on the internet don't hear our words. And from time to time, I'm hearing of people who, in Nevada and California, and even sometimes in foreign nations, are listening to the TechNet. And if you go to the website of AC2AE, which really is QRZ.com, AC2AE, you'll see a nice picture of his shack, a very compact shack. And thank you all for the information. Looks like Rich has discovered a goodie here. And I wonder, is there any way you can tell from the brochure you were given with the Logitech camera as to what instantaneous bandwidth the vid program that it runs is using? Because it is sending rather fluid-looking video. Sounds to me like it is a significant number of kilobits per second is being transferred. And if you knew a rough order of magnitude of what that is, you could make an estimate for those people who are being charged above the 5 gigabits of data transfer per month. And we think it's gigabits, not gigabytes. They could make an estimation as to how many hours of service they could use with the Logitech webcam before they're going to start paying extra for that particular month. So do you think anywhere in the instruction manual, the owner's manual, that might give you a hint about that, Rich? N2EO and the TechNet, K2RIW.
All right, let the ID go by. I really don't know, Dick. They just give you like one little sheet on it, which they don't tell you much. They just tell you to follow the instructions on the DVD that comes with the camera. The DVD has the driver for Windows XP, Windows 7. I'm running Windows 7, by the way. Jerry in Florida is running Windows XP. It's got Windows XP, Windows Vista, Windows 7 drivers on there, and then it goes and it tells you when to plug in the camera. It's really, you know, an end user sort of thing. They don't get technical at all in there, and then they ask you, do you want to install the VID software? Yes, no, and we both installed it. All I can tell you, Dick, I know very little about it from the technical end, but we communicate between 4 and 6 days a week, about 45 minutes to an hour a day. Neither of us have been charged any extra money.
Okay, I think that's Eric. Eric, your signal is dropping out 50% of the time, so you might... Eric, your signal is dropping out 50% of the time. You may have to repeat your message a couple of times, but go right ahead. And are you on Long Island, Eric? KE2EJ, K2RIW.
Yeah, K2RIW, KE2EJ. Should be a pretty solid left antenna walk down, but let's see. My bell looks good. I'm actually not that far, but there were a couple of bad areas that I had. Depending upon whether you're using Skype or you're using various different other types of programs, the actual camera will produce something in the megabit range, but depending on the codec that you're using, typically like Skype is, if it's got, if you've got good upload speeds, it'll tend to run between 25 and 100 bits per second, bits, not bytes. And most of the time, a lot of the stuff is either H.264 or MPEG-4, which is a very, very good reduction. The other part of this is from compression and temporal motion that creates. The less temporal motion, the less we're actually using good images. So, you know, you can get that runs at 50K or 60K that look really nice. If you take the K bits and divide that into a gigabyte, that's a heck of a long time. And take bandwidth for a number of bytes, whereas the meter stuff is not what the speed is, it's how much the is.
Eric, your signal was dropping out one quarter of the time to one third of the time. Average dropout about once every second or so. As I said, you were gone one quarter of the time to one third of the time. Therefore, we missed a couple of vital pieces of information. Yes, the camcorder section probably is downloading a megabit per second, but the video compression that the Logitech is using, you said probably has blank bits per second, and from that we can make an estimate. I want to repeat that number a couple of times, your best estimate as to what you believe the compressed video is in bits per second. I am also curious where you're located, Eric, because as I said, one quarter to one third of the time per second you're dropping out. KE2EJ, K2RIW.
All right, K2RIW, let's see if I can hear myself. Can you hear me now? Is this any different? Is it a different radio or a different antenna?
On that transmission, you were 100% solid for the first time. Go ahead.
All right, it's too damn cold to get out of the car and find out what's going on. Probably my antenna system. All right, let me roll up by you again. The camera is probably capable of producing a megabit of stream. But depending upon whether you're using Skype, AOL Messenger, there are various other forms of Windows Media. The codecs are somewhat different. I'm actually on a parkway. I should be actually able to see the repeater soon.
So if you're doing, if you're sitting in a chair and you're not creating too much temporal motion, most of the codecs that we're using these days, either MPEG-4 or H.264 or even what they call VC1 now, if you have a minimal amount of temporal motion and you use very little bandwidth, you could in fact be putting out a stream that's 50K or 25K, and if you take the 25K and divide that, 25K bits, divide that into a gigabyte, that's a lot of hours, a lot of hours. Of course, if you increase the amount of temporal motion that you create, the data rate's going to go up. And don't forget that what you're getting metered by is not bandwidth, not how fast you can send something, but the number of actual bits that roll out of your machine into the network. So that's what the metering is about. You could have very low bandwidth and still be metered, you know, and exceed your limit, which Fios doesn't put a cap on it yet, but they're going to, because Verizon's beginning to get smart. And Comcast was the first one to do it, and most people hate them. Time Warner is beginning to do it in some areas and not others, but eventually you'll be paying for all the bits that you roll out into the network. K2RIW, K2J.
Fantastic. 100% solid that time. On the input of the machine, you're running S9 at MyQTH on average during that whole transmission. During the previous transmissions when you were dropping out, I heard nothing. You were way below S0 at MyQTH. If my S meter was well calibrated, it is not. That's a lot of decibels of difference in power output between those two RF systems on your vehicle, Eric. But you should know that. Okay, so around 25 kilobits per second or so, maybe 30 or 40 kilobits per second, is your estimated video compressed data rate on the assumption there's not a lot of motion in the picture. I presume the actual video compression is somewhat adaptive. If I was trying to transmit the fast scenes with Mr. Garner from the movie Grand Prix, where everything is moving, I presume I'd be chewing up a lot more data bits if the system could tolerate it. That's a rough guess on my part. Now, you talked about various Windows operating system, Rich, for which the Logitech webcam video conferencing system is compatible. I'm a Linux-based system. Do you have reason to believe that I would or would not be able to use the system on my Linux-based computer? I do have another computer in the house, but it would be less convenient to use that. N2EO, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Okay, Dick, I really don't know. I'd have to look at the DVD. I think it had Mac software on there, too. I don't recall, but you could go to Logitech.com. They have a phone number you can call, because when I got mine working on Windows 7, mine took off right away. Jerry in Florida had a minor problem. She called Logitech on the phone. They had to upload a different driver for her XP on off the website. It took right off. The disk we both had was version 1.0, and they since came out with 1.1.
Very good. Eric, if you're available, would you have a guess on your part as to whether or not the system would be compatible with my Linux-based system? And quite possibly, when I check the website from Logitech or call them on the phone, they'd give me an answer. But I wonder if you've got a guess, Eric, because when it comes to video systems and interfacing with the Internet and computers, you've been there, you've done that probably only for 20 years. KE2EJ, K2RIW.
K2RIW, K2EJ. Well, that sounds like what he's using is a newer Logitech system, which includes its own codec. So, you know that in terms of where they're going to do the most, and that's where their profit is, those kinds of things where it's going to be Windows first, Mac second, Linux, Solaris, any kind of Unix-based stuff is going to be last. Chances are they probably haven't supported Linux on this newest visual communication system, where that you can get Linux drivers that will operate for, you know, Instant Messenger and Windows Media 7 and others. Since he's talking about something that's version 1.1, chances are you're going to be waiting for Linux for this particular system, but there are many other systems, and you will probably find, if you go to the GNU directory, you know, GNU, most of this new stuff that comes out, the guys get busy and start writing codes for it. So chances are, yeah, maybe Logitech doesn't support it yet, but somebody has got something that'll run on Linux that'll allow you to utilize their communication system. Because from what I'm hearing, it sounds like he's using a Logitech program which makes the connection as a codec, and it's not using, say, NetMeeting or CUCME or any of the other thousand different programs out there that do that kind of interconnection, pass video and audio data back and forth. K2RWKE2J.
Thank you. Lots of good information there that time, Eric. I can tell that you're heading east. You're getting stronger. You're now hitting 60 over 9 at my QTH. Does that mean you're heading for the salt mine tonight, Eric? Go ahead.
Actually, no, I'm not. I have my brother with me. I'm dropping him back off where he belongs in Hempstead. And then I'll be heading back home again. Dick.
Very good information, Eric. Okay. Looks to me like you've discovered a great one there, Rich. Well done. And I see a lot of capability for that. I have been pushing multiple companies that I interface with into pushing more and more video conferencing. To ship people thousands of miles through an airline, through the cost, through the rental of hotels and rental of cars and losing baggage and lost time. And some of the people, I'm one of them, are white-knuckle flyers, so you're putting them under stress. There's all kinds of reasons why, with rare exception, you don't have to ship protoplasm to run a conference between two organizations or two divisions of an organization. In the 21st century, it is way smarter to send high-definition video and audio and do video conferencing. And if you don't invest in some video conferencing material, video conferencing hardware, and use it every day, in my opinion, you're losing a lot of money. You're leaving a lot of money on the table, as they say.
Hey, Dick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just to throw this at you, if you're a commercial organization, there's usually one of three or possibly four programs of hardware you use. For example, Sony makes a video conferencing system that is high definition, and it also allows you to hook up VCRs and PCs and all that stuff, and it uses a medium bandwidth internet connection, 100K and less. There's the old standard out there, which is a company called Polycom that just about everybody has, and they're also getting into the medium bandwidth video. They've just recently gone to high definition from their standard definition platforms. Cisco is another one, and there is one more, I can't think of the name of it, but those are the major players within the commercial world.
Very nice to know, Eric. I first got exposed to what video conferencing can do when I was at a video conference at Symbol Technology out in Holtsville, New York, Holtsville, Long Island. I guess it was around 2003. I was in Holtsville involved in a video conference with a organization in the London area of the United Kingdom. And I think we were both looking at a 50-inch wide, high-definition screen, 16:9 aspect ratio screen. That was the screen by which we could see what they looked like. We were also sitting alongside of another screen, almost as large, which showed the PowerPoints that we were presenting to them, and they eventually presented various ones back to us. Because you could hear the people essentially live, no jogging in the video, it looked live, there may have been a second of delay, but I doubt it. It was essentially as good as being there. If I wanted one-step version of higher fidelity of being there, it would have been called smell-o-vision. But other than that, beautiful video, color, pictures, flying in both directions, lots of data flowed, and there seemed to be no limit in time or dollars or whatever to do this. A number of the organizations I've interfaced with said, no, we don't want to do that, it's too expensive. Well, I know of an individual who set up equipment of approximately that quality, going out and buying the components himself and installing it in his particular department within one of those buildings, and he claims that he did it for a little bit more than $10,000, whereas other departments were told that, well, we went out for an estimate, and it's well above $100,000 in order to set up all that equipment. We don't want to do that. A terrible situation from my point of view when people say that...
$2,000.
Fantastic. Okay, so, Eric, you're telling me, Eric, that you, if had to, you could be doing it for $2,000? Wait for the beep and give us some more info.
Yeah, the Sony platform is about $1,600. And now with the reduction in cost of, you know, a 50-inch screen, you can buy a 50-inch screen for like about $1,600, $1,500. You know, you're in the $2,000 to $3,000 range. You do need a reasonable connection to wherever you're going. That's where there's a little bit of money. But, you know, if you go back 10 years, yeah, you were talking, I don't think you were talking $100,000. You might have been talking 20 or 30. And then the actual connection in those days would have been, you know, a special connection from telco, giving you guaranteed bandwidth using ATM or something like that. Or even if you go back that far, it was all done with dedicated video lines. So, and forget about high def in those days. Now, $2,000 to $3,000 per site is really what you're looking at these days. Go ahead, Nick.
KEY.
Mel recognized. And I first was exposed to this in the year 2003, and there was another department that drastically needed it. It happened to be another division of the organization, and that was in 2006, in which they said, no, we can't afford it. They said they went out for an estimate from some organization that sets up such things, and they were told well above $100,000. I said, I don't believe that. And the first group of guys who did it for $10,000, and this was the top-of-the-line equipment, I had made sure that they talked to the group that said it can't be done, and the group that said it can't be done kept saying it can't be done. Well, good thing to know is that the two particular individuals who were most negative on that project, who absolutely were positive it can't be done, thank goodness they have moved on to some other organization. And so an awful lot of that negativism has gone away. I'm going to be involved in some video conferencing this particular week, in fact, and I see a lot of potential there. I wonder how much you've been exposed to it in your work experience, Mel. K2KEY, K2RIW.
This is speaking, KEY. Yes, it is a great way and a cheap way, I could say. You can save yourself quite a bit of sending people, the inconvenience, the pressure, and everything involved. But a little over a year ago, I visited with a place, and I'm not really allowed, I don't think, to mention it. And I saw people, he took me into this room, and you had to put on a pair of glasses. And it was some kind of virtual display that they were downloading from someplace. It was actually a seismonic or some kind of display. They do a certain type of research. And they downloaded someplace, and it... in virtual 3D, Dick. I never seen anything like that. It's just unbelievable. Big screen, huge thing. And I didn't really believe what I thought. Actually, this thing was, I was stepping into the picture, Dick. Over.
Fantastic. I'm going to ask Eric a couple of questions on the subject of broadcast three-dimensional television. I saw the movie Avatar last night, where you wear the Polaroid glasses. In the old days, they used to be red and green. Now they're, I think, horizontal and vertical polarization on the Polaroid lenses, left and right. And I did some I saw the movie Avatar, and the video three-dimensional effects were quite striking. The movie itself, some of the members of my family loved it. Some of them said they couldn't quite connect with the story, but the visual effects were fantastic. There's a website saying that 45 minutes of computer animation time and human intervention time was required for each individual frame of that, let's say, 1.5 hour or 2 hour movie, whatever it was. And so, and it's probably 30 frames per second, so tremendous resources. Someone told me that $1 billion was spent making that movie. Looks to me like it's going to be extremely successful, because there were various people saying that the revenue generated by that particular movie may exceed any other movie in the history of motion pictures. So, three-dimensional, and by the way, while watching the movie, I'm doing the experiment of holding the glasses upside down and reversing them, so I'm looking in the output through the input and so on. Only when you wear them the right way do you see the three-dimensional picture in the with the right aspect ratio, with the right layout of all the equipment. So, when it comes to three-dimensional television, I hear tell that the latest Consumer Electronics Show showed quite a few of those, I think. And I guess over-the-air broadcast of three-dimensional television, that's probably the next breakthrough. If so, I'd like to know, how soon do you think the consumer will be buying it, using it, and whatever? KE2EJ, our broadcast engineer, K2RIW in the TechNet.
K2RIW, KE2EJ. All right, first of all, the difference between the projection system that you were watching and what is out there in the real world for television. Okay, actually, one of the companies that I am consulting for right now is in the process of building a 3D truck in conjunction with Sony. The electronic version of left eye, right eye, and by the way, there are displays that require no glasses. And it's quite interesting if you've ever seen it. But basically, you're talking about a glasses that on a per field basis shutters one eye and opens one eye. And essentially what you do is a little bit like CCAM. It's field sequential. Left eye, right eye. And the set itself has the same thing as what you use for your remote control, a little infrared LED that tells the glasses to shut off the left eye and open the right eye, and vice versa. As far as like the transmission method, very simple, and using digital television the way it is now, very adaptable, and the hardware is all there today, ready to go. So, not a big deal. The big deal will be in terms of content. As of this moment, there aren't a lot of 3D sources that, other than movies that have been specifically shot like that, that are available, but we are actually now going to start seeing sports in 3D. We're going to eventually see lots more stuff in 3D, and it will actually come in rather quickly, but I don't think you'll begin to see it for about another 2 years. K2RW, K2J.
WB2IKK.
WB2IKT, recognized. Get to you in a second. Eric, I am guessing that the video display that you and I watch most of the time on broadcast is approximately 30 frames per second. That's if it's a progressive, and I guess it's 60 fields per second, and again, 30 frames per second if it's interlaced.
25.
Say that again?
25.
Okay, I'll accept 25. Because they have to make it more compatible with the way...
In Europe.
Movies are 24 frames per second, aren't they? So when it comes to left eye, right eye, and...
24 is an error. They want to go into 24. They go one frame more just to have that nice viewing.
Yeah, in Europe, not in the United States. In Europe, it's in the United States, it's actually 30. But really, it's 29.97.
That is correct, because of the difference between PAL and DSC.
Yeah, well, on PAL, actually, you'll find that if you're doing... Now, I'm sorry, Dick, we're doing this. and we're going to time it out. Let me let it drop. You're going to find out in Europe, people who really have perfect pitch get really peed out because what we do is we run film at 25 instead of 24, which makes it tiny little bit faster, which makes it perfectly compatible with PAL or CCAM because the frame rate is 50, not 60. Listen, I got to jump out of the car for a minute. I'll be back in 5 minutes, and then we can pick this up again. K2RIW, K2J.
Sorry for interruption.
Okay. When you come back, Eric, I'm going to have a further question on that. The person who wanted to make a comment, Whiskey Bravo 2, India Kilo Tango, I think it was. If I got your call letters correct, tell me. And tell me your name, sir. K2RIW. My name is Dick.
Yeah, good evening, Dick and Annette. This is George, WB2IKT. Thank you. I've worked extensively in broadcast. The film rate is 24 frames per second in the United States. Video conferencing equipment is called telepresence when it's high definition. Generally speaking, the expensive part about it isn't the transmission equipment, but it's the actual data usage on the network. Basically, it's 5 megabits per second per screen. And a telepresence setup typically has 3 screens, and it's arranged as such when you walk in the room. It's sort of like, it's like a wall of video monitors, and you can see this really quite clearly, so something to look at. So I thought you'd like to know that. Also, some of the limits, like we were talking about before, on the data. I know that Verizon Wireless, Comcast, and AT&T as well are coming out with limits of, and Sprint, 5 megabytes per month for their wireless systems, for their 3G and 4G, because they don't want people hogging it. And by the way, if you go over it, it's not that they turn it off, but the rate that they're going to charge you starts increasing to 2 or 3 cents per kilobyte, which is just an enormous charge. And people are shocked when they, if they go over their 5 gigabytes monthly allotment, they are shocked to see what it is when the company starts charging them for them. Dick, back to you.
Very good. Nice information, George. George, are you the person who I heard giving one of the lectures at Ham Radio University back in, or earlier this month? Go ahead.
I was having a discussion with you there, but I wasn't the lecturer. It was around noon, and
went off to talk to Andy, and W2L repeater.
It's too bad you and I didn't have a further conference. Yeah, Andrew and I had some specific information we had to give to each other that was kind of important, and it's too bad that I probably cut you off, and I apologize. We should have had a greater conversation. Alrighty. So, looks like telepresence is here to stay, and that with virtual reality and high definition and three-dimensional displays and whatever, ain't no end to it all. So telepresence is going to get better and better. I see it coming, and there's a need for it. As I said, often it's much more intelligent to ship electrons than to ship protoplasm, and to pay the huge price of the fuel that's consumed, the time that's consumed, and whatever. Much better ways. We got to think smarter instead of harder. Okay. Rich, as you find out more using this, please come back in future weeks and let us know. The next person who signed in was Wesley. I'm going to give you a little bit of warning about Wesley's subject. Many of the subjects that we discuss on the TechNet have essentially a beginning, middle, and end to them. And we, if a person wants to design, wants to discuss a particular transmission line, a balun, the Smith chart usage, or how an antenna works, usually you can encapsulate that within a reasonable length of time with a TechNet. Turns out that Wesley, let me drop. Wesley is doing a more serious research subject that's going to go on for a good fraction of a year, if not years. By that I mean, we all know that perpetual motion machines are probably improbable and almost impossible. There's lots of evidence of that. However, there are machines that appear to give more energy output than input. Pons and Fleischmann 15 years ago with what they thought was cold fusion